we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, what could God do through us? It is a delight to be back at Worth. So good to see so many familiar faces. And Pastor, we miss you. And we pray that you and your dear wife and children will be fine and come through this with no problem. We look forward to your getting back in your place behind this sacred desk. What a joy it is to be with you. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. I would like to begin in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and following. Verse 35 and following down to chapter 10, verse 1. Follow along with me. And Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, are you one of his children? I think he's talking to us right now. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. An interesting story. The culmination of God's great harvest is the calling by God of laborers sent into his harvest. I want to preach this evening on the harvest in our lifetime, in your lifetime. We must experience a harvest in our lifetime. Let's pray about it. Our Heavenly Father, you told us to pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you, O God, would send forth laborers into your harvest. O God, may we do what you've commanded us to do. And we know, Lord, that if we will do our part, you always do yours. Please, please, Lord, send a harvest in our lifetime, we pray. Bless this time together in your word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. The harvest is plenteous. We just celebrated Thanksgiving recently, and we think of all of the trimmings of Thanksgiving, and Christmas wasn't that bad either, was it? My, I think I gained a few pounds. I got to work that off now. That's good. But it's interesting that there's a harvest that comes to all that plant. How about that? No planting, no harvest. We're living in a day when somebody is always trying to find somebody else to do the job that God's called them to do. And there are many people who know the Lord. Maybe at one point in their life they were active for God, but they've become silent. I believe if every Christian got right with God and all those that felt like God at one time had called them to do something for him, they all got motivated, I think we could reach the world. God doesn't have a second-rate plan. God only has one plan. And that is the plan of God's people to evangelize the entire world. Nobody should be left behind. I want to give you five thoughts that I'd like you to write down. I like you to write things down because you'll remember the message better that way. I want you to take notes. When you come to church, you ought to come ready to write some things down. Amen. Have that pen in your hand and ready to go. You write in your Bible, get the points down, and then you can go back and you can practice those points. Very important. Many people are just hearers of the word, but they're not doers. One of the things I regretted, I didn't know, Brother Tony, that I was going to be a preacher. I wanted to be a state trooper, you know, drive fast, carry a gun, pull people over. I wasn't interested in the ministry. And if I had been listening to the still small voice of God, my dad was a preacher. Can you imagine how many messages I could have written down if I had known that I was going to be a preacher of the gospel? So I want you to write things down, borrow a pencil, whatever you need to do. Number one, the first point of a harvest in our lifetime is for us to make preparation and plant for harvest. There's the need for preparation. Farmers always till the soil. They plow the fields, they grade them out, and then they get the property, they get the ground ready for the seeds to be planted. I don't know whether any of you grew up on a farm, but boy, you know that's very important. In fact, many farmers, they go to great expense to get the ground ready, and they go to great expense to buy the seed and make sure that everything's been planted. And then they pray, oh God, send the rain. Put the sunshine out there so that we can reap a tremendous harvest. And many people that are farmers pray and say, God, now it's your turn. And you know, God kind of sets it all up for us that way. Isn't that something? I remember when I first started pastoring, I thought that I was going to change people and that God was going to really do something great through me. And I came to realize after a number of years, I couldn't change anybody. But God can miraculously change people in a moment. He can call someone into his service in a moment. You may come to church and think nothing of the ministry or think nothing of full-time Christian service, but before the service is over, you're at the altar saying, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. The preparation and planting is very important. Paul said, for I have watered, or I have planted, Apollos watered, but God, notice, God gave the increase. We are in it with God. He is the one, the miracle-working God that puts everything together. The seed is very important. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, is the seed yet in the barn? What he's saying is we've got to get the word of God out there to where the people are. We must sow the seed. We know that some's not going to fall on seed or ground that's ready. Some's going to be choked out, but the good ground is going to bring forth a harvest. And we always labor and serve God with the desire to see God do something that's beyond our own power. And I'm glad that God puts himself in that place. The Bible says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. God is saying, if you'll plant the seed, I'll give the harvest. And the Bible says, but God gave the increase. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, many of you are familiar. The Lord said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say Peter's church. He didn't say Dan Knickerbocker's church. He didn't say Pastor Gillett's church. He called it his church. Aren't you glad that Worth Baptist Church is Christ's church? He is the leader. He is the one that is our shepherd. God has given us the pastor to work and lead and set a vision and guide and direct and make sure that things go in the right direction. But he's supposed to get his directions from God. And that's what's so beautiful about it. The beginning, all through until the ending of time, it is Christ's church under Christ's power, accomplishing what he alone can accomplish. And all he asks us to do is to labor with him. With him. So we have the preparation. In the book of Acts, the Bible talks about Paul going into the synagogues. The Bible said he reasoned with the people. That's the preparation of the soil. We have to get people lost before they'll ever get saved. So we must spend that time dealing with people, reasoning with people. He went on to say, persuading people. It's our responsibility to let them know what Jesus did for us. And as they know what Jesus did for us, we can persuade them that they need Jesus too. I'm sure that if you've ever led someone to Christ, it wasn't your manipulation that got them saved. It was the Spirit of God that said to them, you need Christ. And I've had people say, what must I do to get saved? That's the Spirit working in the heart of a believer. Before a person ever gets saved, they're convicted by the Holy Spirit. They're convinced that they need to be saved. And then they're converted. That's the way God works. And he uses us in that preparation time to bring them. Then it goes on to say that they were pressed in the Spirit and they testified. They gave their testimony. Have you ever given your testimony of how you got saved? I had a little preacher's son get on Facebook and give his testimony how he got saved. And then at the end he said, and I want evangelist Dan Knickerbocker to give his testimony on Facebook. Boy, was I rebuked real good right there. So man, I got my phone out and I got it done. Amen. All of you your testimony ought to be known by people. People ought to know that you've trusted Jesus Christ. That's the preparation. That's the planting of the seed. It's all done simultaneously as we begin this journey of wanting to reap a harvest. See, we don't get into church just to get something for ourselves. We get into the things of God because we want to reap a harvest. That's going to come down the road. We don't get in a rush. We wait on God to bring the harvest. Number two, write this down. Not only do we have, number one, the preparation and planting for harvest, but then we have the praying for harvest. I believe that we can, as a church, go forward better on our knees than on our feet. Why don't we bathe everything we do in prayer? Really? I mean, if we're going to put forth all the effort, why don't we take a little extra time to say, oh God, you're going to have to get a hold of these people's hearts. You're going to have to prepare their hearts so that when you lead me to talk to them, when I am pressed in the Spirit to talk to them, they will want to hear what you have to say to them. It's not what Dan Knickerbocker has to say at all. It's what Jesus wants to say to those people. Because it's his harvest. Amen. The praying part of it. In fact, Jeremiah addressed this issue and he said, the appointed weeks of harvest. He said, there's going to come a time when there's going to be an appointed weeks of harvest. We call it the fall. We call it autumn when the vegetables are ripe and we grab that harvest and we enjoy it and we use it for our own physical benefit. But he's talking about a harvest that God appoints. Did you know God knows everything? He knew that when I was 14 years old, my dad would say to me, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. And that was the day I got saved. How many of you believe God knew that already? How many of you believe that God told my dad to tell me that? I'm so glad he told me that. There was a couple other things he told me I didn't really like. He said, you've given me more trouble than all your brothers combined. And he said, you're like King Ahab. You did more to provoke the Lord than all the kings combined. Wow, what a compliment. No wonder I realized I was lost and needed to get saved. And I bowed my head and trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh, I don't doubt at all, but when my father prayed for me many times, oh God, get a hold of Daniel's heart. I'll never forget when I was out at Springfield, Missouri at what I thought was a youth rally, but it turned into be a preacher's meeting. If I had known that, I never would have gone. I had to sit through 16 sermons. And on the 15th sermon, God called me to preach. How about that? And I'll never forget that. And when I got home, when my mom and dad met me at the door, they said, what happened? They had faces of anticipation. What happened? I said, God called me to preach. Tears began to run down my mom and dad's cheeks. They gave me a big hug and they said, we got over here by the couch every morning while you were gone. And we got on our knees and we begged God to get a hold of your life before it's too late. And I realized it wasn't me calling myself into the ministry. It was the prayers of mom and dad. And God said, that's it, Knickerbocker. It's your turn. He said to me, Daniel, you've come to a Y in the road of your life. If you make a left-hand turn, you'll be miserable. If you make a right-hand turn, you'll be a preacher and you'll be happy. And guess what? I've never gotten over it. Don't try to talk me out of it either, amen? God has been so good. So we prepare the soil, we plant the seed, and then we pray. Oh God, send a great harvest. Number three, I want to talk about the pandemic in harvest. Many people don't think much about the pandemic of harvest, but there is such a thing as a pandemic that comes and attacks the harvest and hurts the harvest. I was reading in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible tells us here that Israel wanted a king. You remember that? Up until that time, Samuel was the one that leaded Israel, and Samuel got all of his orders from God, and God led Israel. I think God did a pretty good job, don't you? I can't imagine being responsible for 2 million people. God did good. Listen to what the word of God says. Samuel said this to the folks there. In chapter 12, verse 17, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. How was their wickedness great? Which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. God said, I'm wiping out your harvest. I'm sending rain and thunder, and I'm going to wipe out your harvest. You didn't think I was enough? God's always enough. Be careful about listening to other people. They may lead you astray. I've never been led astray by Almighty God, ever. He has a perfect track record. Amen. Oh, I think it's so important for us to realize that there is going to be a pandemic in the work of God. The Word of God talks about people sleeping. Yeah, many churches are sound asleep and don't wake them up. Don't wake them up. Heard of one preacher that took a church and was trying to wake them up and they kicked him out. Yeah, they weren't changing for nobody, not even God. That's a pandemic. The destruction of a church is a pandemic. It's so sad when people don't care anymore about a harvest. They're not even thinking about a harvest. They're not even thinking about doing the work of God. 46 churches in America close their doors every day. How bad is that? It tells you something, doesn't it? There are a lot of people that have given up on serving the Lord. They're sleepers. The Bible says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I don't want to be mean, but I think I have caused the Lord shame. There have been times where the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me to plant the seed or to water or to do something to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I've just didn't want to be bothered. I'll never forget the time a lady in my church said to me, "Pastor, there's a lady up at the hospital. She's dying. I don't think she's going to make it. Could you go up there?" It was on a Sunday night she said that to me. Well, you know, I'm a preacher. I got busy. I was really doing important things. And I forgot. And on Wednesday night when I got to church, Helen Kingsley said to me, "Did you go up to the hospital and see my friend?" And I said, "Oh, I've been so busy, I totally forgot." And she said, "Well, they don't think she's going to make it." So I said, "I'll go right up after the service." I went up after the service, and they had just cleaned out the room. She had died just earlier in that afternoon. And I want to tell you, I was smitten with such conviction by the Holy Ghost. And I went home, and I cried, and I said, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I hope somebody else got to her. But what if not? Her blood is going to be on my hands." If we're going to reap a harvest, we've got to be obedient to the Master, the one that is asking us to reap a harvest and to plant a seed and to water it. It is our responsibility. And if we don't do it, it's a pandemic. It's a sickness in the church of God. When we have opportunity and we don't take it, oh, I pray that you'll be so receptive to the Spirit. And when you start your day, every day, not just once in a while, but every day, say, "Oh God, I don't know who I'm going to meet today, but I need you to give me the power to be a witness and a testimony for you." And let people know that Jesus loves them and wants to save them. That's the main thing that we're to do after we've worshiped God. Did you know everything comes out of worship that amounts to anything? Yeah. I heard of a preacher one time that told all of his staff, "I want you in your office from 10 till noon, and I want you to get alone with God without interruption for 2 hours. If you don't spend time with God, you'll be a lousy staff member." I thought, wow, what if he'd said that to all the church people? What a revival would break out if all of us took seriously this harvest. May God help us, amen? God revealed the sad condition of their inactivity in the book of Isaiah 17:11. "But the harvest shall be a heap in the days of grief and of desperate sorrow." Oh, I don't want to lose the opportunities to reach people for Jesus Christ. I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and him have to rebuke me on why I didn't do what I knew I should have done. Oh, may God help us. Number four, the praise and the giving of harvest. The praising and the giving in harvest. Oh, I want you to know that when you get a harvest, you're happy. You know, farmers, they look at their crop and they say, "Well, it's doing pretty good. We do need a little bit more rain. Lord, give us a little bit more rain so we can get the most out of this crop." Boy, when it comes time to bring in the crops, there's praising God, let me tell you. They know that they're going to be able to make the mortgage payment on the house. They're going to be able to pay off the tractor. They're going to be able to take care of the needs that they stepped out and trusted God for. The harvest is coming. Get ready. I'm praying that the revival will come. That's what we need. America's in a mess. And I don't think Washington knows how to fix anything. I'm sorry. What we need is Christians on fire for God, living with the joy of the Lord in their heart, getting involved in every area of our country so that we can take our country back. We've had the philosophy, well, you know, religion and politics don't mix. Well, I can tell you one thing. God, I want to tell you what God said. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And I don't believe there's a whole lot of religious people in charge. And we need to take our country back. We need to have a harvest of righteousness in Washington. Amen. We need to have a harvest of souls being won to Christ in 2021. Why don't we make 2021 the year that all of us get involved and labor and serve God like maybe we've never done before? Because when we give to God and we labor for God, He promises us praising and giving. Oh, what a joy it is. He said, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to his power that worketh where? In us. It's almost like God says, I've got the seed. I've got the souls out there. It's ripe already to harvest. All I need is someone to sow. Wow. Well, praise God. Let's start sowing. Let's see more people surrender to God's work. We need preachers. Amen. We need preachers. There's an epidemic in our country. Churches without a pastor. There's a church my dad started 65 years ago. They've got a building. They've got a couple people. But they've had to shut it down because the old man in the church that's been trying to keep it together, Lance is his name, he got sick, bad sick. And they had to shut the church down. It's closed right now. That ought not to be. We can't find anybody. I've put it out on the internet. I've made contact with people and preachers and colleges. We need somebody to take a church up in Vermont. I had one preacher say, I don't think the Lord would call me to go north of the Red River. There's a Texan for you. I better be careful what I say right now, amen? We ought to be praising God and reaping the harvest and pulling in the harvest. I mean, let's do it. Let's get busy for God. Let's reap a harvest in our lifetime. And then number five, the passing of harvest. The Bible says the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah said that under the inspiration of the Spirit. There's going to come a time when you can't serve him anymore. Think about that. A dear preacher just went home to be with the Lord. He was a great witness. He's done. As long as you're still breathing, God wants to use you for his glory. Amen. Your harvest is not over yet. We must reap the harvest now. I've had some preacher friends die. A couple of them from COVID, some not from COVID, but I'm like, wow. Some were taken out kind of young too. And I'm like, what's happening, God? We need to come to the place where we say, Lord, I don't know how much longer I have. I got a blood clot in my left leg. It went up into my heart. The doctor said, somebody was looking out after you. I said, yeah, I know him personally. Amen. I even got so much wanting to witness at the hospital that when the lady came in to do the echocardiogram and take pictures of my heart, I asked her, I said, do you see Jesus in there anywhere? She looked at me like, I had four heads, and she said, no, I haven't seen him yet, but if I see him, I certainly will let you know. I said, do you have Jesus in your heart? And she said, yes, I do. Amen. The harvest, get in on it. Start witnessing. Don't use excuses that you can't talk to people about. You talk about everything else, amen. You say, well, I'm introverted. Then just pretend you're deaf. And just go, and then give them the track, amen. I mean, let's get it done. Time's running out. There's going to come a time when there will be no more harvest. I'm waiting for Jesus to come. And you know the harvest will be over when he takes us out of here. Let's pray together, may we? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's stand together. Like the pianist to play softly, instead of singing, let's just stand together. I would like to ask you, How are you doing in your harvest? Not somebody else's harvest, but your harvest. The altar's open. I'd like you to use it tonight for God's glory. Seriously. Why don't you come and say, Lord, I've not been very vocal about my Savior. I know I've blamed my lack of witness on COVID. How dare we stop doing what we know we're called to do? About 3 weeks ago, we went out into a neighborhood near our church. The pastor and one of the men led a lady to the Lord. You know what she said? She made this statement, and it was so true. She said, God sent you here. She got saved. The last 2 weeks, she's been in church. I want to tell you something. There's a harvest that we can't let go to waste. Why don't you come and say, Lord, here's my life. Help me to be a faithful witness. Help me to pray for God's power. Help me to try to get folks to come to church. Let's not quit. Let's not give in. Let's not give over. Let's not give up. That we might reap a harvest in our lifetime. And I believe, doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're breathing and you can talk, get on the phone. Go through the phone book and call people up and say, I can't come to your door, but I want you to know about Jesus. And I go to Worth Baptist Church. Would you meet me there and be my honored guest? There's a way to reach a generation in a pandemic. Let's pray together. Oh God, you're the harvest. You're the Lord of the harvest. You're the one that waits for us to put the seed out, prepare the soil. You're the one that works in the hearts of people as we go. You're the one that rains down your blessing upon those tender plants that we have planted, that you bring to fruition, that you bring to harvest. Oh God, in the midst of what we would call difficult times, may we stop believing that it's too hard. Oh God, may we do all we can while we can before it's too late for us to do anything. We trust that you'll give results. We know you will. You promised you will. Please bless this church in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for their encouragement to Ann and I. God, I pray that you'll use all of us to reap a harvest in our lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen.